Agenda item number 8, Mr. Lewis Stone.
If this PowerPoint works a little better than the last. This is a commission consideration of permit violation associated with Mr. Stone's dredging project in an unnamed cove off of Wilton Creek, adjacent to his property at 61 Churchill Road in Middlesex, including the role of his contractor in that violation, Haywood Marine Construction. Now we're in Middlesex, Deltaville area, Twiggs Ferry Bridge. This is Wilton Creek. There's a cove just off of Wilton Creek. This is Mr. Stone's residence. This is the cove. This is the area of the proposed permitted dredging. On July 27, 2011, the commission staff approved Mr. Stone's request to dredge by mechanical method 333 cubic yards of state-owned submerged bottom adjacent to his private pier at his property in Middlesex. Stated purpose of the dredging was boating access to the pier. The maximum depth authorized was minus 4 feet at mean low water. The dredging was to be done mechanically in the application as opposed to hydraulically. There's a form in the application, and there's essentially new dredging and maintenance dredging, and there's mechanical dredging and hydraulic dredging as far as staff is concerned how we review dredging projects. A portion of the sandy material that was to be removed was going to be used as beach nourishment in front of his bulkhead and planted to create a vegetated fringe marsh. The remainder of the material not used was to be hauled to an off-site location, upland, and contained, prevented from reentering state waters. Prior to permit issuance at an on-site meeting during our evaluation of the project, which was conducted on May 26, 2011, that meeting attended by Mr. Stone, his contractor at the time, Mr. W. Bernard Farrar, his agent, Ms. Carla Havens, Mr. Adrian Jennings, who is the project manager from the Army Corps of Engineers, and myself, to discuss the project. During the meeting, we discussed dredge access, equipment access to the site, and the contractor at the time explained he intended to build a road down through the low non-tidal and tidal wetland area here and drive out into the cove to dredge mechanically. Mr. Farrar was told that would not be a permissible way to dredge, that the area would need to be accessed by water or some other way that didn't involve direct impacts to intertidal wetlands and the submerged bottom. Mr. Farrar indicated at that time he did not have a barge and excused himself from that part of the conversation. On the morning of May 23rd, 2014, staff received an anonymous complaint that there was heavy equipment in a small cove off of Wilton Creek near the Twiggs Ferry Bridge. The complaint indicated the equipment had appeared to be driven across the wetlands and into the cove. We checked our records. I found the dredging permit for Mr. Stone in that area. I called Mr. Stone on the telephone. I asked if he was having some problems with the dredging project and indicated that I was coming up to take a look in response to this anonymous complaint. At that time, Mr. Stone thanked me for any help I could offer, got in the car, and started driving to the site. While en route, I received a phone call from the contractor now, Mr. Vaughn Haywood, indicating he was the contractor responsible for the work, and he was asking me when I was going to be there. I said I would be there shortly. He said he would meet me there. When I got to the site, Mr. Stone, Mr. Haywood, Mr. Wesley, Fred Dozzle, who's the chairman of the Middlesex Wetlands Board, who I asked to call to accompany me, was there in addition to a couple of other individuals who I did not know. At that time, I asked Mr. Stone what was going on. Let me back up a little bit. This is the actual permit highlighted showing what was authorized. All dredge permits that we issue require a pre-dredge conference. That pre-dredge conference is to occur with the permittee, the dredge contractor, and a member of staff, so everybody knows that we're all on the same page. In a lot of cases, contractors change. In a lot of cases, permit is issued 1 year, the dredging doesn't commence for several years thereafter, as is the case here. This is the specific pre-dredge conference that was a part of the permit document. These are the permit drawings, site location, a lot of lines here. This is the mean low water line in the cove. This is Mr. Stone's pier. Hatched area represents the dredge area. Again, the area to be dredged inside of the hashed lines. This marsh spit was to be protected by a timber low bulkhead type wall to protect the marsh spit from collapsing into the dredge cut. That'll show up in the drawings. This is the area along Mr. Stone's bulkhead where some of the dredge material, the sandy material, deposited to create a marsh fringe. Cross section showing -4 feet at mean low. This is that timber bulkhead I was mentioning, a low freestanding bulkhead to protect the marsh area behind it. And again, the proposed area of beach nourishment and marsh planting. When I got to the site, this is what I saw in the cove. I asked Mr. Stone what was going on. He said he didn't know, and that I called him, and that's why he was there. I turned to Mr. Haywood and asked what was going on, and he indicated that he had gotten a piece of equipment stuck in the cove, and this was the result of trying to get the piece of equipment out of the cove. I asked both Mr. Haywood and Mr. Stone, could they produce the permit document so we could look and see what was authorized. Neither one of them had the permit document in hand. I produced a copy, the VMRC copy of the permit document, and showed them the pre-dredge conference requirement that had not taken place. When I walked around the other side of the cove to access the area where those piles were, I saw this piece of equipment in the woods, timber access mats. It appears that the equipment had been sunk at least to this depth. The timber access mats had been removed back to this location where the mats still existed on the upland. See some impacts to the intertidal marsh. These are the double-handled piles of material. That's the little timber wall. It'll show up again, but better in another photograph. This is the wall that was built to protect this marsh spit. Now standing on that wall, looking back toward Mr. Stone's pier, what appear to be track marks going through the intertidal submerged state-owned bottom to the access point across the marsh. Subsequent to my site visit, we received photographs anonymously. It shows equipment in the stream. Over the state-owned bottom, submerged. And as Mr. Haywood indicated to me that day, they had to bring in another piece of equipment to get the first piece of equipment out of the cove. During that meeting, Mr. Stone asked what could be done now. Both Mr. Haywood and Mr. Stone asked, now what do we do? I was hesitant to tell them what to do because I hadn't had a chance to fully assess what had been done. But I indicated to Mr. Stone, he has a permit to dredge 333 cubic yards by mechanical method, just like the permit that I had in my possession showed him. I indicated to him that if he could get a contractor with the proper equipment to come in by barge and excavate into hopper barges and remove it to an off-site location as permitted, the activity could continue. But we would evaluate all of it upon completion. I was hesitant to just say, keep working, but I was being asked what could be done, and that was my response. Mr. Stone then hired another contractor. This equipment is owned by Richard Callis, R&W Construction, who came in by barge. This is the meeting. The initial meeting was the Friday before Memorial Day. Memorial Day was a holiday. Tuesday after that Monday was Commission Day. I was there on, this is the Wednesday after the initial site visit. Mr. Callis apparently worked through the weekend to complete the dredging, was on site when I got there on Wednesday. And Mr. Callis, let me back up, Mr. Callis had met with the Army Corps of Engineers to conduct the pre-dredge conference because now we have another contractor. I wasn't able to attend that conference because of commission meeting and the holiday. But the Army Corps, Adrian Jennings met with Mr. Callis. They went over the permit conditions, and Adrian, the Corps of Engineers, cleared them to continue with the dredging by barge-mounted excavator. Now it's Wednesday. I'm meeting with Mr. Callis. He indicated he was almost finished with what he was hired to do. I wanted to get this photograph to just show this is what we consider mechanical dredging, barge-mounted mechanical dredging. Again, you can see the wall. There's the piles have been removed. The majority of the material that had spilled over onto the intertidal wetlands has been cleared off. Water is still somewhat turbid from all the disturbance. This is the cleared area that was used for access previously. So, as a result of my first on-site on that Friday, staff filed a sworn complaint on May 29, 2014, which was followed by a notice to comply, dated June 3, 2014, that's notice 14-02. The notice to comply directed both parties to provide a detailed narrative of all work that occurred on state-owned bottom from the commencement of site access until the completion of the dredging activity by R&W Construction so that VMRC could determine the extent of unauthorized activity and noncompliance with the permit. The notice also reminded Mr. Stone of the requirement for the submittal of a post-dredge bathymetric survey within 30 days of completion of that dredging. That was received with Mr. Stone's response to our notice to comply on June 24, 2014. The survey showed that not all of the permitted area had been dredged. However, it also showed that the areas that were dredged were inside the permitted polygon and no deeper than the permitted depth of minus 4 feet at mean low water. Staff also received a restoration plan for the damaged wetlands under the jurisdiction of the Middlesex County Wetlands Board. They handled that portion of the violation. This slide shows the result of that restoration. You can see these little flags marking the limits of the disturbed area. And the area has now been planted with native vegetation. The mulch and litter had been removed from that area, and that has met the satisfaction of the Middlesex County Wetlands Board. The Middlesex Board considered the project, the violation, at their August 12, 2014 meeting. They discussed the restoration, which by that time had been completed to this point. They recommended additional monitoring and agreed to accept a civil charge in the amount of $500 from both Mr. Stone and Mr. Haywood, the original contractor. They accepted those civil charges in lieu of further enforcement action. By signing the VMRC permit in 2011, Mr. and Mrs. Stone accepted all terms and conditions of the permit. The pre-dredge conference required by Special Condition 16 was never held, and the violation occurred, I believe, as a direct result of the lack of that meeting. And additionally, failing to conduct the pre-dredge conference contributed to the other violations, resulting in direct impacts to waters and lands of the Commonwealth, as well as the intertidal wetlands owned under the jurisdiction of the Middlesex County Wetlands Board. Had we had the opportunity to meet with Mr. Stone and whoever his contractor was at the time, we would have discussed access. Had this been proposed, like in 2011, we would have said, no, you can't do it that way. The permit doesn't allow that. It doesn't show access over the wetlands. It doesn't show mats and equipment entering the stream. But that meeting was never held. Staff is extremely concerned that a marine contractor with years of experience in the area would not read and understand the VMRC permit prior to commencing work. The permit specified the work was to be done by mechanical method as opposed to hydraulic method, as the two methods have very different impacts. With hydraulic dredging, you've got a solution of sand and water that's got to go somewhere to be contained from being prevented from coming back into state waters. Mechanical and hydraulic have very different impacts. That's why we distinguish between the two. In addition, because different contractors have different equipment, we generally don't specify the exact details of how the project is to be completed. Those are the details that get worked out in the pre-dredge conference. In this case, at the time, in 2001, while we were reviewing the project, when the original contractor, Mr. Farrar, excused himself because he did not have a barge, there, at that point, was no contractor, as far as I know, that Mr. Stone had in mind. Again, time passed. Pre-dredge conference would allow us to meet with whoever that new contractor is, find out what kind of equipment that contractor has and how he intends to do the job. Ultimately, Mr. Stone decided to hire Haywood Marine Construction to do the job. Haywood Marine Construction has barges. Why they didn't use them in this case, I don't know. Failure to comply with the requirement to attend the pre-dredge conference could be considered a separate violation from the additional violations or the additional impacts associated with the equipment entering the stream. Using the guidance for civil charge assessments developed in 28.2.12.13 of the Code of Virginia, staff believes the impacts resulting from the unauthorized activity, while avoidable, had the pre-dredge conference been held, we believe the impacts to be moderate. We got a PHMSA report that indicates that while the disturbance to the subtidal benthic community exceeded that which would have occurred had it been done by a barge-mounted excavator, the recovery of the benthic community should occur rather rapidly. They further state that the greatest impact observed at the site was the removal of the riparian buffer after the intertidal wetlands and the impact of those intertidal wetlands. The Middlesex County Wetlands Board attempted to address these concerns with their restoration requirement of the tidal shoreline. Furthermore, staff believes that any water quality impacts resulting from the equipment in the waterway, petroleum, hydraulic fluid, those types of things, were likely short-term. Regarding the degree of deviation or noncompliance, in Mr. Stone's case, we believe that also to be moderate. Given the fact he was told in person during the site, during the on-site meeting while the project was being evaluated, that driving the equipment through the intertidal area and out into the cove was not a permissible activity. Additionally, Mr. Stone either did not read or chose to ignore Permit Condition 16, which required the pre-dredge conference. In Mr. Haywood's case, staff believes the degree of compliance also to be moderate, given the fact that Mr. Haywood has been a marine contractor for many years and his company has the proper equipment to do the job properly. Again, he either did not read or chose to ignore the special condition requiring the pre-dredge conference. As such, We are recommending that the commission confirm that a violation did occur, and that both Mr. Stone and his contractor bear some responsibility. In consideration of the guidance for civil charge assessments pursuant to 28.2.12.13 of the Code of Virginia, which is adopted by this commission, considering the degree of impact and deviation from the permit to be moderate in both cases, we recommend an assessment of $6,000 to both Mr. Stone and Mr. Haywood in lieu of pursuing further enforcement action. Should they not agree to any civil charge recommended by the commission, staff would recommend forwarding this matter to the Attorney General's office.
To you.
That is the end of my prepared presentation. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Jay. Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Zedron.
When you talked to Mr. Haywood, did he admit that those two excavators were his and he drove them across that area?
Yes. He admitted that they were his. I don't recall whether he admitted driving them or his crew, but that his company, they were his company's equipment and his company did the job.
What did he do with, if he drove the excavator into the area where the was clear excavating, what did he do with the material when he picked it up?
I don't know that. Mr. Haywood did respond to our notice to comply. That letter is in your packet, numbered six-three. It appeared that he tried to dig himself out, and that's what the piles were for. But I don't know. I didn't get that information from him.
I mean, did you see any of that excavated material about the site?
What I saw when I got there on Friday was this. That was the only what appeared to be dredged material that was evident. I didn't see other piles in other locations. There was no material placed along the bulkhead as was permitted. So that was the extent of the material that had been dredged, as far as I could tell.
And you didn't ask whether he had moved it out with a barge or anything like that?
I was under the impression that the excavator, in trying to get itself free, had dug itself in deeper. I may be wrong. I don't have that information.
Okay, thank you.
Doesn't look like it moved anything, does it?
Other questions from the commission? Thank you. Very good presentation here. Mr. Stone, Mr. Haywood, present. Would you please come up, gentlemen? Please raise your right hand. I hereby swear the testimony I'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Thank you very much. Please state your names for the record.
Lewis W. Stone.
Vaughn Haywood.
What happened here, gentlemen?
In 2011, I decided I owned both those two lots right there. And I wanted to get one of the kids on the lots, plus I was going to be getting a larger boat, so I wanted to do a dredge. I checked around, found what I needed to do, and the people told me the best way to do it is to hire somebody to get all your permits and take care of everything for you. So I hired a lady. Her name is with Mid-Atlantic Resources, and that's what she does for a living. I paid her $1,400 and some, told her to take care of all the permits, everything I needed to do to get the dredging taken care of. She said she would handle everything, and I was under the impression that everything was handled. Then I had a couple meetings with her to stake off this, do this, see what we wanted to do. And in the meantime, I had cut from another contractor who lives across the field from me down there. That's my summer home. And they said that he told me that he could use somebody to do that kind of work, that he didn't do it. And he introduced me to Mr. Farrar, who came in, and Mr. Farrar wanted to come down through the wetlands, do this, do that, and stuff like that. Well, I don't know any of the laws or anything about how you dredge or what you dredge. I don't do that. That's not my occupation. That's not my livelihood. And I'm not that big, you know, I'm a first-time water person, being on the water. So what I did was, when we met with Mr. Woodward and him, and all he, when this gentleman met, this was in 2011, he told the gentleman, no, you can't come down through the wetlands. He wanted to put the, take the sand and put it back into wetlands. He wanted to, it was a big hole, between my two lots, there's a big hole right there. And he was going to take the sand and fill back in that hole, is what this gentleman wanted to do. I had no problem with it, but Mr. Wood said he could not do that. He couldn't bring the equipment down due to, you know, down through the wetlands or anything like that. It was against the law and all. So he did. He excused himself. Well, in the meantime, we went on with the permits. I had a heart attack in 2011. So I put everything on hold, didn't do anything. And in 2012, I got to check in, and my permit was getting ready to run out. So at that time, I called and found out what I needed to do to keep the permit going, because I didn't even know if I was going to dredge or not anymore after I had the heart attack. And I got the permit redone, this and that. So then I made three or four calls to contractors to come by to give me prices on doing the dredging. And I got a price from one guy, gave me a price, and he was going to be doing it the same way that Mr. Haywood was doing it. And then I had other guys that called, you know, to get prices from Nova Cane Buyer or anything like that. Well, I don't know the difference between, but I did know the difference between mechanical and whatever the other one he was called.
Hydraulic
dredging. Had no idea. And matter of fact, I just asked him this morning, standing in here, if we did it mechanically, and I was told yes. So see, I don't know the difference. And to me, I don't think it's my responsibility to know the difference if I'm hiring a contractor to do it. So what I did, I checked around to get contractors and stuff like that, and some friends of mine introduced me and highly recommended Mr. Haywood. So I gave Mr. Haywood, came by, took a look at my property, told me what he was going to do, gave me a price on doing it. I told him, I said, it's yours, you can get to it, let me know when you want to do it, and we'll get the job done, and I'll pay you what you need, you know, what you quoted me and stuff like that. So everything was fine. Mr. Haywood called me about 4 or 5 months later, and he said that, Mr. Stone, I'm coming in to cut the way. Well, he said, I'm on my way to Middlesex County. I'm getting a permit that I needed to get, and all, which I thought we already had all the permits from what she had, you know, I'd hired a lady to get and to do and all. And he said, I'm getting a permit. Well, I didn't know what he was getting a permit for, but I didn't ask him what he was getting a permit for and all. So what I did, I said, okay, no problem. Just let me know how much I owe you, and I'll give you a check when add it to the bill. And then he calls me the Monday before Memorial Day, and he says, Mr. Stone, can you get out here and move your boats? I'm starting to dredge it. And I said, I can be there in an hour and a half. I live in Richmond. I said, I can be there in an hour and a half, and I'll get the boats taken care of. I go down there. When I get there, the machine's out in the water, and he's out there in the process of dredging and all. Now, as far as the meeting, and then I left. I didn't want to see no more, but once the machine got stuck, I said, I got to get back to Richmond, I got to go, and all. So I own a business in Richmond. But as far as the meeting, me and Jay, the contractor, and everybody had a meeting before we did anything, and I paid the lady right here, BMRC and USEA site meeting, $260. That's what I didn't know that I needed to have another meeting or anything like that. I thought the meeting had already been satisfied and all. I mean, nobody told me we needed to have another meeting or anything. And that's where it stands at. I mean, I hired somebody to get the permits for me. I hired somebody to do the work for me. I did everything that I was supposed to do, that I thought I was supposed to do. And I mean, I'm not trying to do anything shady or try to do anything that I'm not supposed to do. I mean, I wouldn't have went and spent the money that I spent if I was trying to do something. And now I'm getting blasted from every which way I can. understand that I've done this, this, and this, and I'm not, you know, I'm here to tell you, I didn't, if I did something wrong, I didn't mean to do it wrong, and I'm not trying. And I'm paid for everything that I'm supposed to pay for, and I got Middlesex County replant day when they said we shouldn't have cut through there. I had no idea we shouldn't have cut through there. I paid to have his stuff planted back. I'm paying for whatever I had to do. Middlesex County asked me to pay such and such. I did everything I've done. And I, you know, I'm just a, I don't think I did anything. Personally, I don't think I did anything wrong. I tried to do everything that I could do. I didn't know that it was my responsibility that I had to know the water laws and this law and that law and all the laws before I do anything. I thought that's what you hire people for. And that's what I only said.
Questions to Mr. Stone? I actually have a question, Mr. Stone, here. You didn't know, I think you just testified, that you couldn't cut through there like that?
I owned a lot. I had no idea you couldn't cut through there.
I thought you were at a meeting here in 2011 here with Jay and the Corps of Engineers that was not a permissible activity.
Well, Jay in the meeting said in 2011, as I told you earlier, the gentleman that was there, the contractor was there, I own two lots right beside each other. It's a wetland coming right up through the middle of it. And it's a big sinkhole right there, a major hole right there. And the guy wanted to bring his equipment down through there, cut a path down through there, come through the wetlands all the way down. That's considered wetlands, Jay said. And wanted to bring his equipment there, and he wanted to take the sand that he got up where he dredged at and bring it and fill it back in right there. That's when he said he couldn't do that. As far as coming in on my lot and for the guy to be able to get his equipment in, I didn't see a problem with that. I mean, I didn't know you couldn't do that. And I didn't realize that you couldn't do that. And if you get a permit, you can do it. Am I right? Can you come in there if you got a permit?
Under special conditions and special circumstances, there is allowance for that within limited ways,
right, so
with
I thought the permits
remediation.
I didn't do that. I didn't know the permits were not gotten to do that. I would have never had anybody else. I wouldn't have let this guy or anybody else do it if I'd have known it was wrong.
Can I clarify one thing? Y'all are, between the two properties, there's a gut that runs up in there in marsh. And that's what they were talking about coming down originally. I think he bought this other piece of property beside him later. And where we came through, there was, it had been cleared years ago, and it was an opening between two trees, and it was a straight shot to the dredge area. In those pictures, you see the tracks of the machine. That's because we had to pull them. We had mats going out there, logging mats, which I didn't know you had to. I never saw the paperwork that said it had to be done by barge.
I don't have any paperwork that says.
I had a permit person that does permits for me look it all up. She couldn't find anything that said it had to be done by barge. We put mats down. Those tracks are from the big machine pulling the little machine out because we had to pull the mats up as we were pulling the one machine out that broke down. We had to pull the mat out, pull the machine because we couldn't get the machine back up on the mats. So that's what you're seeing in that picture. And I'm not a – Jay said I've been doing this for years. This is the first time I ever attempted to do a dredge. I built docks and bulkheads and riprap revetments.
Which I didn't know that.
You know, I've learned a lot from this, and I think that big of a fine is not fair for a first-time offender, even though I am a so-called marine contractor. That's a little steep. And second of all, I've never asked Mr. Stone for a penny on this whole project. I applied for the build permit to build that little retainer wall around the grass. We built that back one of the days it was 7 degrees and snowing. I told him we got the job done, we could get straight. Things went south. I learned a lot from it. I think $6,000 is a little steep.
Other questions from the commission?
May I say something, sir?
Yes, Mr. Stone.
But I did pay the full amount to the other contractor plus. So I didn't get this done free. So you realize that. I mean, I paid what I was quoted plus more.
Mr. Stone.
I tell you, I've been through one dredge project myself personally. And I don't know dredging. I'm not in that business. But I got ramped up on it. I mean, I understood what hydraulic was. There's a difference in price between that and mechanical. Hired a marine contractor. The marine contractor, we had pre-dredge meetings. We had meetings during dredging and afterwards. The marine contractor knew all the ins and outs of VMRC requirements, DEQ, Army Corps. I'm just stunned at the lack of knowledge of the applicant and the marine contractor. And I've been through this before, once.
Why should I have the knowledge of it if I'm hiring people to do it? If I've got the knowledge to do it, then why wouldn't I do it myself?
Well, I would say you have to have the knowledge of the permitting and what's required, not the knowledge of running the equipment.
Sir, I hired somebody that has the knowledge of the permitting and what's required. That's what that lady is for, isn't it?
Mr. Stone, I'll note for the record here that the name on the permit is yours.
Yes, I understand.
Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Stone and Mr. Haywood, I understand that there's an email here between you all, not Mr. Haywood, but your previous contractor, Mr. Farrar, I believe it is, and you all met with Mr. Woodward and Mr. Jennings with the Army Corps, and it was made very clear here that accessing the dredging through the jurisdictional non-tidal wetlands or filling that hole that you say in the back of your property is unacceptable.
We didn't do that, sir.
Right, but I'm saying it was made very clear that you had to do it by a barge.
No, sir.
But that's what it says from Mr. Jennings.
If it would have been made very clear to me that it had to be done by a barge, I wouldn't have hired anybody else to do it, but somebody by a barge. If you can produce a piece of paper showing me that it says it has to be done by a barge, then I will agree with you. So if you're going
Mr.
on...
Commissioner. Mr. Erskine?
You're going on what he's saying. He didn't have a piece of paper.
You were present here. Mr. Stone was present.
I know I was there, sir. And I'm telling you right now, I wish I'd brought my wife then. There's nowhere did he tell me it had to be done by a barge. Do you really think I would have hired this gentleman and let this gentleman come down through my thing without a note that was supposed to be done by a barge?
It says practical alternative dredging from a barge-mounted crane. That seems pretty clear to me.
What page are you on?
10-1.
Thank you.
Was that not your understanding?
No, sir. I promise you that I did not understand that. I promise you I didn't. And it's just like the meeting. We had the meeting. I've got the thing right here where the lady charged me for coming to the meeting and stuff. I thought that was a meeting.
Miss Havens was present there too, it says. Miss Havens was present there too.
Yeah, she was at the meeting.
Right.
And all. So I didn't know you had to have a meeting every time you had a meeting. I mean, I agree, I'm at fault to a certain extent, but not that I'm meant to be at fault. I mean, it's based on, I've never done anything like that before. And I've probably talked to 10 people that's in my neighborhood that has done stuff, and none of them had to do what I'm talking about.
Mr. Stone, did you attend a pre-dredge conference with the contractor, you, and a VMRC person?
Yes, I had one. Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. Let me correct the record on that. I believe that was for site inspection. It wasn't for the dredge conference on how the dredging would actually be conducted.
It says here in a letter you received on dated the 27th day of July 2011, a long list of things that you're to do. And one of them on item 16 says, a pre-dredging conference shall be held on the site to the commencement of the dredging. The meeting shall be attended by the applicant, the contractor, and a member of the VMRC staff.
And as he stood here earlier, we had a meeting, me, him, there was another gentleman there, and the lady that was doing the staking, and my wife was there in 2011, before I had the heart attack. We had a meeting there, and that's when he told the contractor that he could not come and put the stuff back up in there, and he couldn't come down through that wetland. Now, nobody told anybody that they couldn't come in through the through my lot, my other lot, and all. So, I mean, he didn't come through the lot.
I really wasn't addressing that specifically. So I simply wanted to know if you had the actual
I was under the impression that was the meeting that we had to have. Yes, sir.
Apparently there's some discussion as to which was what meeting.
Ms. Havens.
There was an email from Ms. Havens that you hired to Adrian Jennings, and the first sentence states, the material will be dredged by a barge-mounted excavator.
I don't have that. I don't have it.
Mr. Haywood, I do have a question for you, sir. You testified that you haven't done one of these projects before, but you're familiar as a marine contractor with VMRC's permits and procedures.
Somewhat. I don't do any of the permits.
You've never done a dredging project before? You were not familiar with the requirement for a pre-dredge conference so that everybody can sit down and work out the actual logistics?
The only dredge project that I ever was involved with was one very similar to this. It was with Hammertown Marine. It was on the other side of Deltaville. And we did it the exact same way. We put mats out at low tide, dug the material, put it in the truck, and hauled it off. And I wasn't involved. I was an employee then. I wasn't involved with the business end of things.
I'm kind of discouraged, Mr. Haywood, that although you understand this agency and understand our water bottom and our jurisdictional issues, that before a major project like this, you didn't call staff before you start this just to make sure all the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed?
No, I didn't. That's my fault.
It's regrettable because I think those photographs showed us the end result of that.
Yeah, I know. I'm still paying for it.
Any other questions from the commission?
Mr. Commissioner, I would offer my copy of that email to Mr. Stone.
Would you like to sort of refresh his recollection?
Yes.
Still wasn't sent to me.
Who is Adrian Jennings?
I don't know who that is.
The Army. Mr. Jennings is with the Army Corps of Engineers.
Ms. Haven. Emails were sent to me.
Mr. Stone gave me all the paperwork that he received before I did this project, and I read all the paperwork, and none of it was the paperwork that Jay showed up with that Friday.
I've got the paperwork that was sent to me right here, sir. I mean, I tried to do what I'm supposed to do. I've been drugged all over the place because of this.
In what way, sir?
Well, I mean, I feel like down in Middlesex County, everybody, they made me feel like, Jay came out there and made me feel like I killed somebody that Friday afternoon.
I understand Middlesex County issued a fine of $500.
Middlesex County has been very, very nice about it. I mean, I'm talking about on that Friday when me and him were standing out there, and Jay called me, and I told him, I said, thank you, dear. I'm glad you're coming because I need this thing resolved. I didn't know. Would I have been happy he was coming if I thought I'd done something wrong?
This happened on Monday.
I told you.
This happened on a Monday morning, like 9 o'clock. If I thought I was doing anything wrong, it would have been cleaned up and taken care of long before Friday.
Okay, wrap it up, gentlemen, here. You've been going back and forth with everyone here for a while.
I found out that when he got there and they told me what needed to be done and how it had to be done, as he said, within 30 minutes, I had a gentleman right there. He got a guy. I paid the guy right there on the spot. The guy got there. He worked through the weekend and worked right up and got the job taken care of like it's supposed to be done. And as I said earlier, sir, I'm not trying to beat anybody or beat around the bush or do anything wrong. That's what I paid good money to go to people to do work. It's not my fault that the work didn't get done properly.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Mr. Woodward. You clear anything up here? And would you go over the staff recommendation again, please?
Do you have specific clarification?
Now, in your, well, I guess one thing to clarify here that I did have in mind here was that in this discussion about the access path and the access trail through this, and as I understand your summary here in the 2011 meeting, that it was made very clear that there was no access through jurisdictional marsh or tidal wetlands.
When we met on site on May 26, 2011, myself, Adrian Jennings with the Army Corps of Engineers, Mr. Stone, contractor he had at the time, Mr. Farrar, there might have been one other individual, and Carla Havens, who was Mid-Atlantic Resources, who was hired as the agent to get the permit for Mr. Stone. Carla was out in the cove staking the limits of the dredge cut, while Adrian and I talked to Mr. Stone and his contractor. And we asked him, Adrian asked him, how are you going to access the site? Mr. Stone turned to his contractor, Mr. Farrar. Mr. Farrar explained exactly what Mr. Stone just said, that he was going to build. I bring this slide up because this is Mr. Stone's, you know what, this is the swale area that he was proposing to dredge property line. He was proposing to drive down, I apologize, drive down through this ravine out into the cove, driving down through non-tidal wetlands, across tidal wetlands, and onto state-owned submerged bottom. That was the proposal from the contractor. Adrian Jennings said, and I can quote, no, you're not. Mr. Farrar said, well, how do you want me to do it? I won't quote this because I don't remember specifically, but both Mr. Jennings and I said, you're going to need to do this. If you're doing it mechanically, you're either going to need to reach out from the upland or you're going to need to bring in a barge to get the equipment to the site. I turned to Mr. Stone and I said, are you proposing to bring the equipment down through the yard? The answer was, no. My wife would not allow that. So we're left with, how are you going to get to the site? Mr. Farrar left. That was unresolved because now we don't have a contractor, hence the Preach Ridge Conference.
Please
just add to that if you don't mind. It wasn't then asked, could I drive across here or elsewhere? The point was, you can't drive from the upland through the intertidal zone, wherever that may be. In this case, it was also going to involve non-tidal wetland fill under the jurisdiction of the Army Corps of Engineers, outside of our jurisdiction, outside of the Wetlands Board's jurisdiction. But it wasn't then proposed to move 100 feet down the shoreline and do the exact same thing.
Okay, the staff recommendation is basically implying a degree of deviation of noncompliance is moderate here for both Mr. Stone and Mr. Haywood. Just moderate. Okay. Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Can I ask Mr. Woodward a question? In his permit that he received on August 9th, 2011, the yellow placard was enclosed. Did you see that? when was it conspicuously?
When I got to the site that Friday and met with Mr. Stone and Mr. Haywood, and there was at least one other gentleman who was unidentified to me, I asked Mr. Stone, do you have the permit?
Right.
No. Mr. Haywood, do you have the permit? No. The unidentified gentleman said, well, we've got the permit. It's tacked to the tree. That's the placard.
Okay.
Not the permit.
Right.
They proceeded to tell me what the permit said, and frankly, I told them I know what the permit said. I wrote the permit.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, question.
Mr. Speaker,
can you explain to us what's the recommendation, this is a fine versus other action means?
We have two options here, and I guess if counsel would like to expand on that. The civil charge is something that the commission can accept in lieu of fines, which are civil penalties, which would be imposed by the Attorney General's office. And I'm not sure if that answers your question.
Okay, next follow-up question. What explain what the other action it could be.
Well, I'll correct that. For one thing, is that the civil penalty is not imposed by the Attorney General. We bring an action in circuit court, and the court would impose a penalty of up to $25,000, I believe, per violation. You said, what was the follow-up there? Sorry.
No, that answers my question. Now, what's the alternative? If these people, the applicant and the contractor decide they don't want to take a recommendation at $6,000 apiece, if that's what the commission does, the alternative is go to circuit court and could face up to $25,000. Is that right?
That's right.
Well, the matter is before the commission.
I'm just going to make the comment.
Mr. Sessions.
I find it hard to understand how a applicant and a contractor doing marine work did not know they needed to have the conference and what they were doing was wrong. Dredging in state waters is a significant event. It's not insignificant.
Any other comments? Mr. Hall.
I need to correct one comment I made about the $25,000. It's $25,000 for every day of the violation. So I don't know how many days this persisted here, but it could add up.
Mr. Chairman, I move we accept staff recommendations.
Motion to accept staff recommendation. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Dr. Neal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously.
Light of the nature of the motion and the decision, it's important to hear from the applicant in this case to know whether or not, or the permittee and the contractor, to understand whether or not they agree. And if they don't, then with the understanding that this would go on to the Office of the Attorney General with the recommendation that they seek civil penalties in the local courts.
That's a good point. Mr. Stone, Mr. Haywood, you've heard the commission's decision here. Do you accept this civil charge of $6,000 each in lieu of further enforcement action by the Attorney General's office, which could have significantly higher repercussions?
We don't have time to consult our attorneys.
I suppose you do. Yes, you do. But we would need to know pretty quickly here whether or not we need to have the Attorney General's office proceed.
Okay, how much time do you need?
Get back to us in a day or two, that would be a very acceptable. Mr. Hall says a week is good.
Well, I'm leaving it. I'm going to be in town for a week. I'm leaving Thursday, and I'll be in Denver for a week. So it's in your
I made the motion. Can we give him 2 weeks?
Let me look and see if there's any limitation on when we can bring the action.
choice.
Mr. Commissioner, I would suggest you put a particular date and time, like whatever day it is, by 5 o'clock, something like that.
And who do we get in touch with?
Mr. Watkinson would be a perfect gentleman to do that.
What we will do is we will send a letter following up on the commission's action today within the next 48 hours, and it will specify what the commission's decision was relative to the civil charge recommendation and requesting that Mr. Stone and Mr. Haywood let us know whether they agree with that within the time specified. If not concurrence, then the matter would be referred on to the Office of the Attorney General. So it will be stated in a letter to you. And the date was in the time?
2 weeks from today is September the 9th
at 5 o'clock p.m.
Very good. Thank you.